every now and then somebody will say to me, they'll describe like a supernatural event that they had, and they'll describe it in a way that they'll say it was so unexplainable, and it was so much more than coincidence, and it was such clear direction, and it turned out to be so true. It had to be God speaking to me because there's no other way it could have happened. And then they oftentimes follow it with something like this. And that is the only time I know for sure that God's ever spoken to me. And there's this mystery that surrounds this supposed silence of God over all of the rest of their life. Now, when I hear stories like that, it always makes me sad because I feel like we have too narrow of a view of what God's speaking is like, of what God's voice is actually like. For those of you who are a little bit older, how many of you remember the movie The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston? Yeah, right? So you remember, he went up on the mountain, he met with God. He's, you know, Charlton Heston staggers to the bottom of the mountain with these two stone tablets, and he can barely stand under the weight, you know, of this voice of God that he's heard with the law of God and, you know, lightning and thunder and smoke. And it's this unbelievable moment where he comes back to deliver the message of God to the people. Unfortunately, that's too often our view of how God speaks. It's this once-in-a-lifetime monumental moment, maybe once in a few generations, monumental moment that God has something to say to us. But look, if that's your view of how God speaks, you're going to miss a whole lot of what God has to say. In this series, I want to encourage you to think about God talking to people like an ongoing conversation, more like a text thread with emojis and abbreviations and questions, and sometimes incomplete thoughts and back and forth. Now, we all know people who are too quick to say, you know, God told me. Don't point, please. But we all know somebody in our life, we've all met somebody who's really quick to say, God told me, and they say it way too much. And it's this legalistic tension. You know, this morning God told me to wear these shoes, and God told me to eat this for lunch, and God told me to drive this way on the way to work, and this song came on my Spotify playlist on shuffle on the way, and God sent that song to me. And by the way, did you see the clouds on the way in? There's a sign in the clouds today. God's talking to all of us. So we've all had that. We've all had that encounter with someone where everything is that. And I think that kind of legalistic tension is more of a hindrance in us hearing God's voice than it is a help. However, I don't think that's where most of us live, if I'm just going to be honest with you today. I think what most of us struggle with is something that's just as debilitating, but let me be honest, just more comfortable. We just like it. It feels better. We tend to function oftentimes like agnostics toward God's voice, skeptics. When I get enough proof, then and only then am I going to believe that God actually said something. And by the way, I'm really busy and I have a lot going on in my life. And so if God really wants to talk to me, you know, he can catch up. He knows where I am and he can catch up with me and talk to me. And I think that skepticism hinders the natural flow of communication between us and God. So in this series, we're going to be talking about hearing God's voice in everyday life. And try to answer questions like this. Does God really speak? Does God still really speak to people? How do we recognize his voice when he is speaking? Why does it seem like some people hear God clearly and other people can't hear him hardly at all? And what do you do when you can't hear God's voice? What do you do when you're trying to get direction or clarity or whatever? What do you do when you can't hear his voice or when you seem to hear nothing? So this morning, I want to give you three misconceptions, and I want to encourage you to take notes this morning and write these down. They will guide you and help you in your journey and relationship with God. I want to give you three misconceptions about hearing God's voice, and then I want to give you one truth One truth that will revolutionize the way you hear God's voice if you'll apply it. So number one, first misconception, God only speaks in one way. Do you know there are entire denominations built, anchored in this doctrine that God only speaks one way? That he only speaks through the Bible. That's what they'll tell you. God speaks through the Bible and he speaks no other way. Now, I will say this, I fully believe that God speaks most clearly through the Bible and the life of his son, Jesus. Those are the two clearest ways we have that God speaks. And the way that we know about his son, of course, is also through the Bible. But you would think that the people who believe that God only speaks through the Bible have never read the Bible. Because if you read the Bible, you know what you find in it? A lot of different ways that God speaks. If you read through the scripture, people have encountered him in so many different ways. And then there are other ones of us that maybe your one way that God speaks is not through the Bible, but maybe it's through, you know, worship. God always only speaks through songs, or God speaks through dreams, or God speaks through prophecy. There's some people, everything's a prophecy. Everything's a prophecy. Everything's a prophecy. But look, what happens is when we accept this belief, this misconception that God really only has one way to speak, we miss a lot of what he has to say. I want you to imagine for a minute applying that misconception to marriage. Now, I don't want any wives in the room to raise your hand, but I promise you, there's some wives in this room, you would put your hand on a Bible and swear an oath that your husband's deaf to your voice and he can't hear you. Is that right? You would swear he can't hear you. You say, listen, I'm trying my best to communicate to the guy and he doesn't get it. I ignored him, nothing. He didn't even notice. I gave him the look, nothing. He didn't even notice. I tried to be nice, nothing. He didn't even notice. And you're like a defensive coordinator flashing signals on the sideline of a college football game. You're like, I'm screaming at this guy and all these signals, and he notices nothing. And you know what he's thinking? It's because you speak 300 different ways and you keep changing it. I can't keep up with you. But I want you to imagine for a minute the same God that created all these different ways of communication, facial expression, body language, tone of voice, gesture. Why would God, who created so many forms of communication, only communicate one way? In the Bible, God communicated in dreams and visions and angels and through a donkey and his word and prophets and gifts of the Spirit and circumstances and signs and miracles and an audible voice and through other people and through inner impressions. So my encouragement to you again is throw open the doors and the window of your soul and allow the fresh air of God's voice to permeate your inner being. Number two, our second misconception is we think our view of God doesn't matter. In other words, we can kind of rationalize whatever type of God that we think that he might be, and it doesn't affect any other part of our life, which the complete opposite is true. When you misunderstand who God is, it is a major hindrance in hearing his voice. Dallas Willard said, all human troubles come from thinking of God wrongly, which then means thinking of ourselves wrongly. Now, all of us have a wrong view of God. Somehow, some way, somewhere, and even if most of what you believe about God is right, it's at least incomplete. So why do you and I have a wrong view of God? I'll explain it. Because your view of God came from your parents. Your view of God came from your church or churches. Your view of God came from all the authorities in your life. And guess what all three of those groups have in common? They're all imperfect. Therefore, they all give you some less than perfect view of who God is. Therefore, each one of us, to a smaller or larger degree, have a misunderstanding of who God is, and that affects our ability to hear his voice. So let's imagine for a minute that for you, God is a perfectionist. who demands perfection. And so what do you do? How does that affect your ability to hear his voice? Then what you'll do is you'll work and you'll strive and you'll pray and you'll get the book and you'll go through every page of the book and you'll come at the end of it, you'll see, I did all 21 of them and I fasted. I only ate green beans for 21 days and cottage cheese. Green beans and cottage cheese. That's all I ate for 21 days. I followed. And you're hoping that if you work hard enough and you work long enough that God will give you some crumb of his voice. Because your view of God is that he's a perfectionist. And that you can't ever do enough really to make him happy or to please him because somebody in your life was a perfectionist. What if your view of God is he's an absentee parent? In other words, God's good on the big stuff, like going to heaven, eternity, saving your soul, maybe the rapture. He's good on the big stuff. But like the little everyday problems, the weekly, the monthly, as the year goes through, the little everyday things, I'm on my own. Because maybe you had an absentee parent or somebody absent in your life that should have been something that they weren't, and they weren't there. And so now you've projected that view on God, and you say, I'm kind of on my own. How will that affect your ability to hear God? You'll only hear God on big things like salvation. You'll tend to think that you're on your own. Or if you think God's a cosmic boss that just wants robots that he orders around and tells every detail of everything to do, you'll be sitting on the edge of your seat all the time in indecision, waiting for God to tell you the next micro move to make. And if he doesn't tell you, you'll make something up. And you'll pretend it was him. Our view of God has a big effect on our life. But here's the thing. God's not any of those things. God is a good father who has a good plan, whose joy it is to walk in fellowship with you, who has given you salvation and grace and peace and his word and the Holy Spirit, and who has eternity waiting for you. And in the Bible, we're not called robots. We're not called any of those things. You know what we're called in the Bible? Jesus said, I call you friends. I call you co-laborers in Christ. We are sons and daughters of the living God. Therefore, we have the ability to have a relationship and conversation with them. Number three, the third misconception is only super Christians can hear God. You know, I appreciate so much when I hear like a powerful testimony, like somebody has some crazy supernatural event that God has done in their life, and it's unexplainable, and it's unbelievable, and you go, man, I love hearing those testimonies because those testimonies encourage us. But sometimes I think when we hear those testimonies, it also can have the opposite effect. Sometimes unintentionally, we create two classes of Christians. You know, the ones who really believe and really pray and really hear God, and then everyone else who's just kind of drudging along in some dry existence, just trying to eke out a faithful life, wondering, you know, does God even remember who I am? And maybe you've heard some of those testimonies before, you've seen those things in other people's life, and it's caused you to wonder, I wonder why God never speaks to me that way. Maybe you say, I've never seen a miracle. I've never heard God's voice. I wonder why it is that God doesn't speak to me that way. And it can leave us feeling like second-class Christians. But I want you to know something. This is not a new idea. It's not only hundreds of years old. It's thousands of years old. When Paul the Apostle was traveling around, he ran into a lame man. The Bible says this man had been lame from birth. In other words, he was crippled. He had never walked his whole life, and everybody in his life knew it. Everybody in the town knew it. When Paul the Apostle met him, God did a miracle through Paul the Apostle, and this crippled man stood up and started to walk. Can you imagine how shocking that would be to all the people who'd known this crippled man his whole life? You can imagine as the news spread across town, hey, did you hear that, you know, so-and-so over there can walk now? No way. I've known him since he was born. He's been a cripple since the day he was born. Would you not have to go see it for yourself? I would want to go see that guy. I would want to physically look at him walk around. That would be an unbelievable miracle. But here's what's interesting. What's interesting is the way the people reacted to the miracle. Look at Acts 14, 11. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, healed the crippled man, they shouted in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form. Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker." So in other words, these people are saying, Paul and Barnabas aren't just human. They're more than human. They're some kind of, I don't know, they're gods. Like, I don't even know who they are. We've never seen anything like this in our life. But look what Paul the Apostle said in verse 15. "Friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We too are only human like you." It's human nature to respond in this way when you see something supernatural. It's human nature to respond the way. It's human nature to be overwhelmed or to be in awe or to think that the people that God used to do it aren't human like you. When you hear some story, you think, we can tend to get jealous or feel like we're on the outside looking in and think, why does it God ever work in my life that way? Why has it God ever done anything like that to me? Oh, it's because they're super Christians and I'm not a super Christian. And it creates two classes of Christian. We see this again in the person of Elijah. God used Elijah in such powerful, powerful ways. But look what the Bible says about Elijah. James 5, 17. Elijah was a human being even as we are. So here's what I want to say to you this morning. If your starting point is, well, I'm not very emotional. Or I don't have the right kind of personality for this supernatural, spiritual stuff you're talking about. I could never hear God's voice. I've not been trained. Or maybe you think, I'm analytical. I have a very analytical mind. So I'll be analyzing everything so God can't speak to me. There's a Greek word for all of that as a starting point. You know what the Greek word is? Hogwash. God is a communicator, and he'll communicate to you through so many different avenues. And in this series, I want to talk to you about how he does that. Your only requirement, listen to this, to hear God's voice is to be human. That's it. You don't need to be a super Christian. You don't need to be a super saint. You don't need to eat green beans and cottage cheese for 21 days. You don't have to do anything crazy. Your only requirement to hear God's voice is to be a human, just like Paul and Barnabas, just like the other people that you know, just like me. We're all the same in that we're all human, and the Bible are filled with humans who heard God's voice. Lily Tomlin, the famous comedian, said, "Why is it that when we speak to God, we're said to be praying, but when God speaks to us, we're said to be schizophrenic?" Why is it that we validate communication going this way, but not coming this way? Why does that seem so odd or so strange? Hearing God's voice is a normal part of the Christian life. So I want to leave you this morning with one truth. I want you to zero in with me. Maybe you've heard nothing that I've said so far. I want you to hear this one thing. I want to leave you with one truth. And this truth will revolutionize your ability to hear God's voice. This truth will heighten your sensitivity to the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. This one truth will open your eyes and open your ears and give you greater understanding. And I'm going to give it to you for free. Are you ready? Here it is. Love God with all your being. Love God with all your being. Now you may be thinking, what in the world does that have to do with hearing God's voice? Everything. And here's why. Because hearing God's voice and knowing God's person are not two different things. They're one thing, they're the same thing. Excuse me. Communion with God is the context for communication. So it's inside your relationship with Him that you hear Him. In other words, God's voice is intertwined with His being. And sometimes we try to get at His voice, but go around His being. And you can't pull those apart and have one without the other. When we compartmentalize those, we take a step backwards. Sometimes we want direction, but not closeness. Sometimes we want religion, but not relationship. Sometimes we want insight, but not to be with God. So let me give you this thought and let you just soak on it for a little bit. If you want to know God's voice, but not know God, you'll probably get neither. If you want to know God's voice, but not know God, you'll probably get neither. You'll probably get neither His voice nor His person. You probably won't hear Him and you probably won't know Him, because His voice is wrapped up inside of who He is. Is it possible that one of the reasons that you struggle to hear God's voice is because you don't know Him very well? Is that possible that that's one of the hindrances in your life? Loving and hearing are the same thing. Now, that doesn't mean if you'll just love God enough, you'll prove that you're good enough, and then He'll start, you know, talking to you. That's not what that means. It means if you pursue God to know Him, His voice becomes clearer to you. So you want to hear God's voice? Where do you go? Go to relationship with Him. Go to relationship with Him. Go to relationship with Him. His voice is inside the relationship. It's in the relationship. It's in the knowing. So many times we say, God, I really need to know about this one thing. And God's saying, but I want to tell you about a lot of things. Yeah, I don't care about that. I just want to know about this. And God's like, but I have so many things to share with you. I have so many things to talk about. And by the way, you're not even ready for that yet. Come close. It's in the dialogue. It's in the relationship. Hearing God's voice. Soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Love is the standard. Love is the highest good. It's the best definition of maturity. It's the most powerful effect on your life. What good would it do if you saw miracles but you didn't love God? What good would it do if you saw wonders but you didn't love God? What good would it do if you saw signs but you didn't love God? What good would it do if you heard prophecies, but you didn't love God? What good would it do if an angel were to speak to you every day, but you didn't love God? What good would it do? 1 Corinthians 13:2 says it like this: if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. Would you say that with me? I am nothing. What good would it do? What good would it do? Nothing. Nothing. Man, that's profound. That's powerful. What good would it do? Nothing. No good at all. Not one bit. No good at all. Nothing. Loving God, it's the heart of the Christian faith. And everything else flows from it. And as your relationship with Jesus flourishes, remember, it's not TikTok, it's not a microwave, it's not an ad, it's not a Twitter statement. It's not a flat rock skipping across the surface of life at breakneck speed. It's slowing down. It's dropping your roots low. And it's saying, God, I'm here. What do you want? I just came to be with you for a little bit. I'm gonna take this pocket of time. I'm gonna take this 10 minutes, or this 15 minutes, or this half hour, or whatever it is. God, I came to be with you. Man, can I tell you? In those moments, you'll absorb more of the kingdom than you can imagine. Those quiet moments practiced over time. The Bible says that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places or quiet places because he withdrew to be with the Father. In this series, we're going to talk about a lot of the practical issues of hearing God. But right at the beginning, I want to tell you what my invitation is. My invitation is not for you to chase some supernatural event. It's not to chase a miracle. It's not even to chase God's voice. My invitation to you is to pursue Jesus. Just pursue Jesus. And from that nucleus will flow so many other kingdom things. I promise you, every Christian that you respect has at least one thing in common. And here's what it is. They have a growing, flourishing relationship with Jesus. They pray and they meet with God and they spend time with him. And the kingdom seeps into the soil of their life as they do that. And there's no way to fake it, and there's no substitute for it, and there's no other way to get it. So here's my invitation to you. Why don't you just go ahead and make a decision to be one of those people? Why don't you just make a decision? Why don't you just decide? Why don't you just say, I want to be one of those people? Why don't you just grab a devotional and say, you know what? For the next 21 days, I'm going to meet with Jesus. Not most days, not some days, not when everything goes right. Every day. Every day I'm going to wake up or before I go to bed or whenever you do it, I'm going to turn to the to the reading that day and I'm going to read the scripture. And I'm going to ask God to speak to me through that scripture. And I'm going to pray and worship for a minute or whatever, however it is that you do it. Why don't you just go ahead and make a decision? Why don't you just go ahead and make a decision? Look, we've got goals for 2025. We've got dreams for 2025. We got things that we want to happen for 2025. What about loving God with all your being? Man, that would be an amazing goal, would it not be? My encouragement to you is dig in, throw open the windows and the doors of your soul and say, God, here I am, whatever you want to say and whatever you want to do, fill me with your presence and fill me with your power and fill me with your purposes. And God, saturate me. You know why? We need spiritual food more than we need physical food. We just don't know it. Because we don't have a natural, like we have hunger pains physically. Would you stand with me this morning? Lord, today as we seek to start 2025 off in a way that pleases you and honors you, God, I ask you to minister today encouragement, hope, for those who kind of came dragging into the new year, God, breathe the breath of life on them today. Strength. Lord, for those who are already distracted by all of the sparkling things, God, I pray today you draw them to the thing that matters the most, to the one whose mind is overwhelmed with all the things that must be done. And many of those things are important, and they really do have to get done. But God, draw us to the quiet place today. Draw us today, Lord. Let your presence saturate and stir. And God, let us feel spiritual hunger pains today, not just the longings or cravings or desires of our natural body or of our sinful nature, but Lord, a spiritual ache, a spiritual hunger, a spiritual thirst, a spiritual longing that there's something more that you're drawing us to. Lord, we love you today. We ask God for your grace and guidance as we go. As our worship team